Hello and welcome to Just Needs, a podcast where we talk about parenting children with disabilities. I'm your host, Christina Kozik, and I'm glad you're here. This podcast is a project of Exceptional Lives, a nonprofit organization that supports families like yours. You can learn more about Exceptional Lives at our website, www.exceptionallives.org. So in our house, we're about a month into the summer break, and this past week, my son had his first huge summer meltdown. He's out of his school routine, and depending on the day, he's either overstimulated or understimulated. Not to mention, it's hot and miserable outside, so he's cooped up inside more than usual. This all leads to at least one or two huge meltdowns each summer, the kind that usually lasts all day and needs at least another day for all of us to recover. My son, like most kids, struggle with his emotions and regulating them. I mean, they are kids. And if I'm being totally honest, I've been known to have a struggle or two with emotional regulation myself. We are fully aware of how exhausting it could be to support our kids who have a hard time regulating their emotions. We know that look in their eyes just before a meltdown. We learn to avoid things that trigger our kids, and we have strategies for talking them off of a ledge when they're losing it. We are experts in co-regulation. But man, it is so tiring. I want to take a step back here and explain what co-regulation is for those that may not be familiar with the term. Co-regulation is when one person's dysregulated nervous system is met with another person's calm nervous system and as a result begins to calm or regulate. In other words, if you can respond to your child's anger or overwhelm by being calm, you help get them calm. It sounds complicated, doesn't it? But it's really not. Because you already know how to co-regulate with your child. That's the best part of this. Remember when that kid that you're so frustrated with right now was just a sweet little baby and they would cry? What did you do? You did all the things that you knew would help calm them down. You probably changed the tone in your voice. You probably slowed down and focused on them. Maybe you picked them up to sway that took us years to stop doing when we're standing still. Maybe you sung in a low, slow tune. Maybe you made exaggerated smiles or wide eyes, or maybe you avoided eye contact and held them tight. Whatever it was, you did it because you learned what they needed to feel calm. You co-regulated them so that they would feel regulated again. And I know what you're thinking, but Christina, that was an easy one. How do I co-regulate with a tantruming toddler or a strong-willed child? I hear you. As parents and caregivers, we're familiar with behavioral outbursts. How we respond to their behavior, though, depends on the context. Let's say your child is really digging in her heels about going to school. She is mad. She's not getting dressed, and you yell, "We're late. You're losing your tablet if you don't get dressed right now." Now she's crying and stomping and yelling, too. She is in full meltdown mode. She doesn't care what you threaten to take away if she doesn't do it now. She doesn't care that you're going to be late for your meeting. Or that her brother is screaming in the car seat ready for daycare. Just then, you realize she might be feeling nervous about something happening in class that day and was upset when she couldn't find her favorite sweater. You close your eyes, you take a few breaths, and you calm yourself. You walk into her room where she's stomping on the shirt you had out, and you say calmly, "You must be nervous about today. You wanted your favorite sweater to help you feel better." She stops stomping and looks at you, but she's still angry. You say, "That sweater is dirty, but I want to help you feel better, so let's see what else we can find that will make you have a good day today." She comes over, and you guys are able to look together. You co-regulated her so that she could re-engage with you, and you could help her re-engage with the world. You've likely supported your child through a number of emotional or sensory meltdowns or overflows or outbursts without even knowing there was a term for what you were doing. But what about teenagers or parents? The older we get, the more complex we become. It is normal to feel dysregulated at times. Many of us have had experiences that have helped us physically feel in our bodies what it feels like to become calm again. Think about a time when you were so upset about something that happened to you and a friend or a partner made it worse by getting upset about it too. That didn't calm you down. It likely amplified whatever you were feeling, and it probably took you that much longer to calm down. Now think about a time when your family or friends have co-regulated you. It could have been with hugs, by listening, by helping you to reflect on the root of what you were feeling, or even with a simple, "That must be so hard." The more opportunities we have to co-regulate with others, the easier it will be to self-regulate. We draw from those experiences. We tell ourselves to walk away, to breathe deep, or connect with a friend. Remember what you know about your loved one, what they need, and what they like. And if you're able to muster up that emotional energy, take a step back, slow down, and help them to connect what they're feeling to how they're behaving, but always with empathy and respect. I really hope something I've said has resonated with you, because I suspect you, like me, may be spending a lot of time trying to co-regulate your child or someone else you're close to. Maybe it's working, but you're exhausted. Maybe it's not working and you're frustrated. It's most likely a little bit of both. You're doing so much, and there are so many layers to what you are trying to do every day, especially if you have a child with a disability or a child who struggles with relating and communicating. You cannot co-regulate others when you are in a state of dysregulation, and you cannot be expected to be calm and engaged 24/7. Before I go, I want to leave you with this. Stay connected by staying curious. Instead of responding to their behavior, take a minute to wonder what might be fueling that behavior. Also, keep looking for clues and making assumptions about what's bothering them. Are they overwhelmed by noises at the mall? Are they feeling stressed about an argument with a friend? And remember, even if you get it wrong, you're showing them that you see them. And isn't that what feels the best when we feel the worst? To be seen? Thanks for joining me this week. This podcast was written by Julie McIsaac, PhD, learning and mental health consultant, and presented by me, Christina Kozik, for Exceptional Lives. You can subscribe and follow the podcast at our website, www.exceptionallives.org/justneedspodcast. Our website also has blogs, guides, upcoming events, and a resource directory for Massachusetts and Louisiana. We'd love for you to follow us on Facebook and Instagram at Exceptional Lives. If you enjoyed this episode, please let us know by leaving a 5-star rating or review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you're listening.